Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 28th, 2023. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, morning.
And we are joined right now by our good friend, Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
Going well. How about for you guys?
Doing good here. Nice sunshine out there. We're enjoying that. So far, no slush yet, but I imagine that's going to be changing.
Yeah, we could see a little bit of that light snow accumulation with this kind of clipper-type system moving in from the northwest later tonight, so bringing some light accumulation potential. Generally looking at anything of an inch, mainly less than an inch for any snowfall we see, do see later this evening. But in the meantime, we enjoy that sun today, and a high about 43, west winds 10 to 15. The snow showers moving in later this evening overnight, about an inch or less for any accumulation, 18 for the low. And then on Wednesday, snow shower early in the morning, then back into some sun, and 32, northwest wind 10 to 15. Mid-teens Wednesday night. Thursday, clouds rolling back in with the next system that will be impacted as Thursday and Friday. Some chances for rain showers later on Thursday. Rain, maybe some mixed precip Thursday night, mid-30s. More rain on Friday, 50. And then rain turns to snow showers Friday night, 26. And then a highs back to about 41. With some partly sunny skies moving back in on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Yeah, not much change from yesterday, so I guess we know what's coming.
A little messy.
Exactly.
A little messy. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you.
You bet. You're welcome.
Have a great one. Best in the business right there, our friends are the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley and the gang. Thank you for that. He'll be joining us the rest of the week here and keep an update on that slush and whatever
maybe
else is coming.
Change.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You know, you never know. We got some fun stuff lined up this hour. A little bit, we'll get into Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. And we're going to get into some history of idioms. I'm going to let you know the origin story of Three Sheets to the Wind and You Are What You Eat. Some of these fun ones here. And, of course, the 9 o'clock hour is going to kick off with our good friends from the Nakusa Walleye Days. We'll be talking with Nakusa Mayor Dan Carlson and Howard Freeman. Looking forward to that.
Oh, wonderful.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Right now, what's the number one thing airlines could do to make flying more enjoyable? Don't think about it too hard because AI already did the legwork.
Oh, good. Let's hear what they have to say.
A professor at the University of Missouri had an AI program analyze 400,000 customer reviews for six major airlines. And here are 11 suggestions it came up with. More flexible seating arrangements. Issues with seating were one of the most common complaints it saw.
But did it give recommendations for how to make that possible?
I doubt it. I don't know. I read the complete article here, but what I have in front of me is kind of just a synopsis. But I go and read the full articles just in case there's any extra details that I think might be noteworthy or anything like that. They did not have any suggestions.
So a lot of times you can pick your seat.
Right.
If you're going with the really budget tickets, but if you go directly through the airline, you can pick your seat. But then what? It's not like you can switch once you get in the airplane.
Well, and those manifests are important.
Yeah.
It is important to know who is sitting where. Those things are important. And that was not just so that I could say the word manifest. That is it's a fun word, though. It's a fun word. Self-cleaning bathrooms. Somehow automate it so they're constantly disinfecting. Yes, figure that out. Figure it out. But whatever
you
got to do.
I've seen it. They have the ability to do it.
Wow. I haven't seen that.
But it would be expensive. So I don't see airlines doing that.
Probably not, yeah. Personalized comfort settings. So you could do things like change the height of your seat or the temperature of the air coming from your overhead vent.
That would be hugely expensive for airlines. I don't see them doing it.
Redesign the overhead bins. Maybe so more bags or bigger bags would fit. They weren't very specific about it, but they want them resized. Use anatomical models to optimize flight schedules so there will be fewer delays.
That might be doable.
So that one is an interesting one because that's been in the works. Mm-hmm. Actually, similar to the overhead bins. That's something else that many airlines have been working into. One of the things that I came across in my reading was there have been airlines that have been looking into this, and then they end up like going out of business. And so they can't even go through with it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, and this is commerce. This is capitalism and everything. That's the way this works. The strongest survive, that kind of thing. But one of the things that I came across in my reading when it comes to the airline industry and this discussion that's going on, because it's becoming more and more in the public eye as far as airlines and the problems we have with flying and all that. We don't want a monopoly, of course, of just one. You know, there was somebody in the article that I was reading that had recommended, you know, what would happen if we just had all these, you know, companies come together and just formed one so we could maybe have one great airline that would have all of these things and everything. And
Monopoly.
I'm like, have you ever played the game Monopoly? Like, how did this article even get published? How did like a lot of good ideas, it was half there. It's not a bad idea, I think, to join forces, letting certain airlines eat up another airline, a smaller airline and stuff. And maybe becoming stronger. Now, the problem is his theory. This is a theory. That's not what happens, though. Mm-hmm. This happens all the time. One business eats up another business. But does that business become better? Not always.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily make it better. You need to have regulations in place.
Interesting going on right now. Completely different field, but not too different. Where you look at Verizon just bought Mint Mobile. For like $1 billion or something like that. The reason Mint Mobile was big is because it was cheap. And Verizon says they're going to keep it at those prices. But how long are they going to keep it at those prices? You know, and if or once they do change it, then it ceases to be anything special anymore. Then it's just like all the other phone companies.
You need competition in the market.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's going to keep prices at what people can afford.
So maybe it isn't so much sharing, stocks and everything like that, and actual ownership of a company. Maybe it's being able to, hey, I know we're all competing with each other, but let's share knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's share this technology. Let's make sure that it's available in all of these and stuff. And we'll compete with each other when it comes to airline miles and things like that. If your standard plane were all the same, you know, and they had almost these features and everything and that. There's also one other thing that I can't help thinking, and I'm not even halfway through, I'm not even full through the article yet, but there is one other thing. Have we gotten spoiled? We can fly, people. We can fly. We have planes. I understand that there's been a lot of horrible plane accidents and everything, but by average, we do pretty good with this. Like,
yeah, flying is overall very safe.
We've gotten way too spoiled with flying. Like, it is still miraculous. It is still a miracle that we're able to do this.
Well, and I think for people that fly a lot, you know, are going to have more complaints about it. For those of us who fly fairly infrequently, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the plane took off and that the plane landed and that I was able to get through the flight. So, yeah, I don't know. Getting more spoiled with it. You're kind of right, James.
Yeah, I'm with you completely on this one. Yeah, did the plane land okay? It's cool, cool. We're good. Okay, you earned my money.
And if you want to be more comfortable, you can purchase first class tickets.
Yeah,
and it's pretty comfy up there. I'll tell you. For that one time, I got bumped up, and I don't think it was even first class because it was a smaller plane. It was like business class. But my goodness, that was nice.
God, that sounds awesome. Finishing up the article here, use AI to monitor equipment and reduce mechanical delays.
Well, along with human, like they can't replace the human component with AI completely.
No.
They need to work in tandem because AI is not there yet.
Yeah. More flexible booking policies, like no cancellation fees and being more upfront about prices in general.
Airline to airline.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. many times I've ever, I'm 99% positive that I've never been on a flight and not heard of somebody getting on that flight because there was a cancellation. And I've flown a lot in my life. I would rather go to an airline, and I would be more inclined to go to an airline that has no cancellation fees. They understand the industry they understand the world just as well as we do. Things happen. Mm-hmm. There are airlines that I will never fly with again because of this factor, because of their policies.
And it's understandable to have a policy of, okay, you can cancel within 24 or 48 hours of the flight with no fees. Yeah. After that, there's fees. That's understandable.
That I get.
Then that's they have, you know, these things scheduled. They have schedules in place, and it's really hard if you drop out at the last second.
That I completely agree with. But I would say I was going to go a week. But I mean, 48 hours, I think that's fair, too. But it's not as if they're not going to fill the seat. You know, they're going to get their money.
A lot of times they will, but not always.
I'd love to see the average on that. I would bet $100 that it's in the 90 percentile that they fill that seat. But I hear what you're saying.
It depends on the size of the airport, too. Mm. Smaller airports are not going to be able to fill those seats.
See, there's a very strong point, because I'm thinking of like where I grew up, like O'Hare or something like that. But there, you'd go a little bit, like an hour from here in Wausau or whatever, Mosinee.
Yeah, that's not, they're not going to fill
them. You're right.
There's nobody sitting there waiting.
That's a fair point. That's true.
It's more common for them to say, okay, can anybody be willing to not take this flight and take the next flight? Because we ran out of room.
Yeah.
We overbooked. We'll put you up in a hotel room.
They say next, give ticketing agents more performance-based feedback and social praise to boost morale and improve customer service.
Oh, absolutely.
That should be number one.
That should be, because I had an amazing ticket agent when my flight got delayed coming out of Milwaukee, and I was supposed to make a connection in Chicago, and she's the one that upgraded me, because she got me on a bus to get to Chicago, and then held the plane for me at Chicago until, because I had to run from one end of the airport to the other. And she's calling me on my cell phone as I'm literally running through the airport to tell me, they're holding the plane for you. I've got them holding the plane, so don't worry. Okay, but I'm already here.
That's a saint right there, that lady.
Yes. And I asked her for her, because she gave me her personal cell phone number. I asked her for her supervisor's email, and I sent him a very, praiseworthy email of, this person is amazing and needs a raise.
That's awesome. Good on you, Mel. Good on you. I had her name was Angie. The first flight I ever took out of Milwaukee to Cleveland, I got there, and where I was supposed, my parents drove me, they dropped me off and made sure I was in line and all that stuff and everything, and I was good. And then they left. And then we realized that I was in the wrong, end of the airport.
Oh, no.
And I'm just telling the ticket lady this and everything. It was like she hit a button, stop the presses. And I'm going to make sure this 15-year-old is going to get on that plane or whatever and everything. And that woman, her name was Angie. I will never forget her name. I purposely looked at her nameplate just so I would make sure to remember. Because that woman, you would have thought she was my mom the way she was, fighting for me and, what she did for me. Great lady.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And airlines should be appreciative of their staff because they have a very difficult job.
Yeah, yeah. Keep track of luggage by putting trackers on every suitcase. If I order something from anywhere nowadays, I can track it. I can follow it as it's coming. That seems like a pretty easy one to do.
Well, what was the thing? I honestly only saw a headline about this, but what's going on with the AirTags? Isn't there some kind of something going on with that where they're tracking things they're not supposed to?
Yeah, I heard something about that. But
I didn't look into it because it seemed perhaps a little conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
But
I know Apple has an AirTag thing that you need to be within 30 some feet of or something like that. But I'm not sure if I don't know if that doesn't sound like that's what you're referring to. I'm not sure. I don't have to look into it. If there's any issues with your baggage, you should get a text. So that would kind of go along, I think, with the other one. But I like that. I like, especially if you haven't even landed yet and you're getting a text telling you, hey, your luggage is late or something like that. That seems really cool. That seems like it would, okay, I'm not going to wait in line for my bag to show up if it's not even going to show up.
Yeah, but the thing is I don't understand how that happens sometimes. So on my flight, they, and part of this, perhaps the overhead bins need to be redesigned, but also people need to bring the proper size bag. They put those measurements out there very clearly of what you can bring and what you can't and what size and what will fit. And they always run out of space.
Yep.
And then when they're all right, we're just going to tag your bag and send it. How does it not stay with me then and go from plane to plane?
Yes. Yes.
Why not?
It doesn't make any sense.
It does, because everybody, you get to an airport and they got to split them up. And so, I mean, it does in some ways.
Sort of. But in other ways, it doesn't. Right. In other ways, it's
if
just
you
scoof.
Only got on one plane.
Yeah.
And it didn't arrive with you.
What? I mean, well, what's going on? Come on. It is frustrating, though. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And speed up the TSA line by using biometrics like face recognition to ID everyone. It would be faster than showing your boarding pass and ID.
Okay, but then they need to make face recognition work for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. There is way too many.
Way too many problems with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like there's people out there that, again, read half of articles, because face recognition is not anywhere near where we need it to be yet, as far as being able to be reliable or anything like that.
Nope.
Maybe one day.
I mean, if you're a white man, sure.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. In that case, you're fine. Yep. You know, it's definitely going to recognize you. But if you look even like me, you're going to have a difficult time, let alone if you are of darker pigment or anything.
Yep.
Just not there yet. But it's a matter of time before that stuff does evolve to a point where maybe that will make it faster. I do get a little cringy when it comes to the face recognition stuff, to facial ID recognition and that. But it's also one of those things. I got to get over it, because it's not going backwards. It's only going forward.
Right.
So we'll see what that develops with that one. But that was an interesting conversation, Melissa. I thought that was pretty cool. That's good. We're going to take a break. We will come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're doing some celebrating when we get back here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. What we're about to do right now is celebrate you and our friends at Misty's with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Treat yourself. Get on over there. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
Indeed.
We have two names on the list today. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
All right. I think we did one yesterday, so I'm going to go with two.
One or a two. Here we go. There gives us our qualifier. So first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to a former long time. Once you've been with WFHR for so long, you are family for life. And this person certainly is. Christy Kengott celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Christy.
Longtime listeners at WFHR will remember her as Christy K with WFHR and WGLX back in the day. Christy is the one that taught me so much in radio, taught me about Over the Back Fence, how to do that show, really how to pace yourself on radio. Still top five greatest voices I've ever heard in radio. Christy. Christy's nice. Just one of those great voices, one of those naturals at this job. So good at it. I hope you're doing good out there, Christy. Take care,
and
Christy.
Enjoy your birthday.
Yeah, have a good one. And our qualifier today, Patty Carsey.
Ooh, happy birthday, Patty. Congrats.
We hope you have a great day, Patty. Enjoy your day. We hope it's a good one, and you're our qualifier for today.
Congratulations.
Want to remind everybody to send us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want more of these. Get us more.
Mm-hmm.
You can send them to info@WFHR.com. You can like our Facebook page and direct message us that way. Just type into your search bar WFHR, like the page, and boom, just like that, you'll be able to direct message us. Or you can email any of our staff. All of our emails are pretty much the same. james.mailoff@civicmedia.us, melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
That's yeah, you got it, James.
I'm getting it. It only took me a couple months.
I'm proud of you.
Before we dive into the celebrity birthdays, I have to mention one from yesterday that was not on my list.
Uh-oh.
One of my top three favorite players growing up in football, Randall Cunningham. Happy birthday yesterday, Randall. Happy 60th birthday.
Wow, I remember that name.
Mm. One of the greatest I've ever, one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life. Cunningham is ranks third in quarterback rushing yards all time. He was the blueprint for what every quarterback is going to be going forward. Steve Young really was the blueprint. Randall Cunningham put it on another level. Randall was just a little bit bigger and wasn't the passer that Steve Young was, but had the legs of a running back. And he has a play, even if you don't care about football, I encourage people to look up this play. He's playing the Giants. He gets out of he's supposed to be sacked on the 1 yard line. Instead, he gets out of it and on one back foot in the end zone, whips the ball about 50, 60 yards to, I think, Fred Barnett and hits him in stride, touchdown. Like, just one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. Love him. Love Randall Cunningham. I'd give Randall Cunningham a kidney if he asked me. Like, I don't, wow. Maybe not. Maybe. I don't think at 60 Randall
might
would
be
want.
Taking it too far.
Yeah, maybe. And I don't think he'd want my kidney, but I'm a big fan. Big fan of Mr. Randall Cunningham. Happy birthday to him yesterday. Now, we look at today's birthdays, and we got to start off with, of course, Lady Gaga, 37 today.
Oh. Wow, 37.
Lady Gaga was told in high school that she was too ugly and had too rough of a voice to ever make it, and was ridiculed horribly in high school and such. She had a really tough time growing up, and she was told that she was too Italian to be taken seriously as an actor. which is hilarious, I think. There was a couple of things about her that stood out like that with her life and her career. And of course, she comes out the gate and she's wearing the meat dress and a lot of those things. And I think a lot of people looked at her as, well, this is another pop star.
Novelty.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Then she started to take the makeup off. And she does this, I forget how it happened, but they were at some big, like the Grammys or something like that. And she runs into Tony Bennett and they hit it off and become great friends. And they decide, you know, she suggested to him, hey, why don't we do an album together? Now, she's a pop star. Jazz can be a nail in your coffin as a pop artist.
Don't do it right.
Yeah. Look at what she has done from that to the acting game to her Super Bowl performance, where I thought she just killed it. I thought she was amazing. Her voice is unparalleled. And her acting is only getting better and better. I think she's a great, way better than average actor, and she's getting better and better. She's currently going to filming the Joker sequel, where she'll be playing Harley Quinn. They're turning that Joker. It's a much darker version of the Joker and everything. And it's supposed to be a musical. It's supposed to be a dark musical or something.
Wow.
So.
Well, that's just a really great example of what lengths a person has to go through to get noticed and recognized for the talent that they have. Because that's really what she did, and it was very well thought out and orchestrated,
yes.
Honestly.
Yes. No, she could teach a master class on how to handle your career.
Yeah.
And she's not, and I mean, again, she's only 37. she's got a long way to go yet and stuff, but she already could do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Stiles is 42, Save the Last Dance, 10 Things I Hate About You, The Omen, The Bourne movies.
I like her a lot.
I do too. I'm definitely a fan. Nick Frost is 51. Simon Pegg's sidekick in Paul, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, The World's End. Great actor. Great comedic actor. A lot of fun. I like him a lot. Another good comedic actor, Vince Vaughn, is 53.
Vince Vaughn.
You are so money, baby. You are so money. Swingers, Wedding Crashers, Old School, Dodgeball, Anchorman, Be Cool, Starsky and Hutch, The Breakup. Vince Vaughn's had a little bit of a rough go lately of it, but I've always enjoyed him as an actor. I like his work a lot. I will admit he is a Chicagoan. What I like about Vince Vaughn is not just him as an actor. You will notice, going back to The Dark Knight featuring Heath Ledger and Christian Bale, that movie might look a little familiar to some people. That was filmed in Chicago. That was that movie, along with a couple of others before that Vince Vaughn was in, was the start of this new thing that's still going on to this day of Hollywood saying, well, I don't have to go to LA or New York to film. I can I can do the same type of work in Chicago or cities like that, and just save money, not spend as much, and get the same stuff that I want. Vince Vaughn was huge in the process of bringing people to the Midwest, not just Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Detroit, to film here. He was a huge, huge part of that.
He always has just struck me as a very relatable person.
Yeah.
Like, you just feel like he would understand. I don't know.
Yeah, I get you. I feel the same way, yeah. Cheryl Salt James of Salt and Pepper is 57. Salt is 57 from Salt and Pepper.
Really? Mm,
yeah, I liked her. I was a big fan of hers. Push It, Let's Talk About Sex, Shoop. I mean, they got a lot of hits.
Yeah.
The great Reba McEntire is 68 today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's got 10 big Billboard hits and a lot more go along with that career, along with being a great actor and plenty more. It's funny because we were talking about Lady Gaga before, and I think that now very different careers, obviously, and different genres and all of that, but
right.
A little similar in the sense of had to fight to get taken seriously. Once they were taken seriously, decided to get into acting, showed that they are pretty good at acting and have had a longer career than some people may have expected them to.
I liked her on Little Rascals.
Yeah, her attitude, like she could chew me out anytime. I would not care.
I'd just sit there and smile at her.
Just be smiling at. She'd be so mad at me, I'm sure, but I wouldn't be able to help myself. Diane Wiest is 75. She fought for Kevin Bacon's right to dance in Footloose. She's also Edward Scissorhands' mom. She was masterful in The Birdcage. There are a lot of legendary performances in The Birdcage. Obviously, Robin Williams gets to play a straight man. He's actually playing a homosexual, but he's playing a straight man in comedy. he's always the silly guy. He gets to be the serious guy in that role. Nathan Lane is more the silly guy and everything. Hank Azar is beautiful in that movie. Gene Hackman is incredible in it. But Diane Wiest's performance is so beautiful. It's so good. She's such a good actor.
She is such a good actor. Practical Magic from
1998. Yes.
I Am Sam. I mean, she was in some really, really good movies.
As soon as you said I Am Sam, that gave me chills because her performance in that. She is unfortunately one of these actresses and one of these people that it isn't going to be until she's gone probably that we appreciate her. I hate saying that.
She's been in so many movies and she's just not... I didn't recognize her name, but I absolutely recognize her face.
She's so good.
And her acting, yeah.
Big fan. And we want to, of course, wish one more time, Christy Kengod, a happy birthday. Christy, enjoy your day.
Happy birthday, Christy.
And a happy birthday to Patty Carsey.
Yes, happy birthday, Patty.
Congratulations. Congrats. You're a qualifier, Patty. Congratulations. We're going to go ahead and get to Melissa's news. You sit back and listen to that. Afterwards, go ahead and head on over to Misty's. Treat yourself. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Ah, such a good song. Michael Penn, No Myth. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there. Some fun stuff to get into right now. Melissa and I are going to dive into idioms. Yes, the history of some of these great phrases we have. One of the fun things about doing this subject is... idioms and all these kind of things that we use are not to use that much throughout the rest of the world. And one of the fun things that we have found over the years of doing these is when we have our listeners like in Finland and Sweden chime in on these.
Yeah.
And so part of the reason we are doing these is we were requested to do them from our listeners out in Sweden.
All right.
They get a real kick out of these. And I know that a lot of our listeners do. So I thought it'd be kind of fun.
It's interesting to hear the backstory because we say them all the time, but we don't know where they came from for a lot of them.
I think it's always interesting, too, the older they are and how they're still used.
Yeah.
And the, a lot of this kicked off with, of course, those listeners asking us to do this. And I was like, well, okay, I don't want to do this because they asked, I want to say maybe a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And well, I don't want to do this just with anything. I've got to have something hit me, got to have something bring me in. And mm-hmm. three sheets to the wind. I heard somebody say this a week ago, and I just took me back. I don't know the last time I heard this to the point where I wasn't even, I was vaguely sure I knew what it meant. But I wasn't 100% because I haven't heard it for so long. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to look into this a little bit. And like many other expressions in English, it has its origins in seafaring.
Oh, okay.
In the days of sailing ships, some ships had three sails per mast. At the end of each sail, there was a cord called a sheet that could be tightened or loosened depending on the strength of the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't call it a rope at sea. It's called a sheet.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty interesting one. Mm-hmm. How many times have we been told you are what you eat?
Often.
Yes. The first mention of the phrase you are what you eat came from the 1826 work psychologist Dugat on meditations and transcendence. It was a French author named Authory Brilliant Savant who wrote, "Tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are." Good one.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good one. I like that. Let's see. We crack somebody up. You know, there's not many things that feel better than cracking somebody up, making somebody laugh. You mm-hmm. can make somebody laugh. It feels good. Well, the expression crack someone up comes from Gaelic.
Ooh, awesome.
In which the word craic, pronounced crack, refers to fun. And in Gaelic, it's spelled C-R-A-I-C, but pronounced crack. So, to crack someone
Let's
up.
Let's go have some crack. Different meaning in USA.
No. You see the other person trying to like, no. What? What did I say? What?
We're just going to go have fun. Oh. I don't know what you're upset about.
Hello, officer. What? What did I do? That's a good one. I like that one. Let's see here. In over our head. I got almost. You say something like that in front of an audience, you're in over your head. You gotta be careful with your words on that one. That's a mm-hmm. tough one. Most of us have been in over our heads at some point. It makes sense that the origin of the idiom is in over your head can be found in antiquity.
Antiquity, okay.
It is believed to have been first used sometime during the 1600s, as a few average Europeans could swim during this period, being in water deeper than one's head was to be in serious trouble.
Gotcha. Water, of course.
Yeah. That's an interesting one, how literal it's taken.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are not nearly like that, but yeah, that one's very literal, it seems.
Well, the three sheets to the wind is also very literal, because if the sheets, the ropes aren't tied down, the ship will drunkenly kind of just like move around.
So, one of the things that I love the most about little kids is how literal they take things. Like mm-hmm. little kids don't understand metaphors. They don't understand idioms and all these things or anything like that. It feels like that's how these things came to be, you know, more common or used for more than what their original purpose was. These phrases, mm-hmm. it feels like the kid in us kind of did something like that, like where we had fun with the, or you know took
a little bit like well let's just apply this literally to something.
Yeah. And the expressions just kind of grew.
Mm-hmm.
And look, desperate times call for desperate measures. Yes. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Let's look into this one. The expression, the desperate times call for desperate measures, is believed to have originated with a saying coined by the ancient Greek physician Hippocrates. In his work, he wrote, "For extreme diseases, extreme methods of cure as to restriction are most suitable." Desperate time. I can see that is a simpler way of saying that.
Extreme methods of cure.
Yeah.
Well, and unfortunately, they didn't know as much then as we do now, because they would try some very desperate things like...
leeches?
leeches are not desperate, James.
No.
I'm talking like mercury and arsenic and things that are terribly poisonous and horrible for humans.
Much worse than leeches.
Yes. Leeches had their place.
No, they had their place. I pick on it. I just pick on it because of my history with leeches. But yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They did. I sometimes I'm a son of a gun. What can I say? You know, sometimes I'm a son of a gun.
You sure are.
The phrase son of a gun originated in British Royal Navy during the 1800s when naval officers were allowed to have their wives accompany them to sea, and babies born aboard ship were delivered in the spaces between the broadship guns. The term the term applied to boys born at sea and was slightly contemptuous. Wow.
Interesting.
Oh, that is cool. That's so, one of the cooler ones, I think.
It's cool, but I didn't realize it was kind of like a slander.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that part I did not realize, yes. But it kind of cool that it's turned in. Well, I wouldn't say it's turned into, but I would say that just knowing some of this and everything, that it, I think that there's been some ownership of it.
Mm-hmm. Little, like, well, it's kind definitely of, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Don't cry over spilt milk. Yeah. While the exact origin of the idiom isn't exactly known, it is quite likely to have come from fairy lore. In the days when people believed strongly in fairies, it was common to lay out a shrine for them, consisting of small quantities of food and drink, particularly their favorite drink, milk. Whenever milk was spilled, it was considered to be nothing more than a little extra offering to the fairies and nothing to worry about.
Oh, don't worry over spilt milk.
Interesting. Interesting. I like that one. That's a good one. And finally, one more. Over the moon. Over the moon is a great one. You can use the phrase over the moon when describing your feelings when someone something great has happened to you. Though the phrase is still popular today, particularly in British football, the origin of the idiom over the moon has its roots in the early 1700s. One of the first allusions to over the moon in print may be seen in Charles Moley's 1718 work, The Conquet, or The English Chevalier. "'Tis he, I know him now, I shall jump over the moon for joy." Nice. Nice. Yeah. That is an interesting one. That's a fun one. Now, one of the things that I also wanted to do with this is, hey, I'm sure there are idioms, metaphors out there that you want to know the history of that we haven't gone over. Let us know. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear, you know, your suggestions or any that you would like us to research and look up. We tend to do this on Tuesdays, so maybe get it to us by next Tuesday or the next Tuesday after that or what have you, whatever works out best for you. But you can, again, direct message us on Facebook. That just type in your search bar, WFHR, and like the page. Otherwise, you can email any of our staff, Melissa and I in particular, where you'd want to send this, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us or melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
And that's K with an E, K-A-Y-E.
Yeah, thank you. I should have said that before when I said it.
That's okay.
That's a good catch, though, Mel. we'll take a break right here. We will come back, and we're going to have some fun talking about Botox. It's coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR. We're never going to dance again. 2 feet got no rhythm. Such a sad song. That saxophone. I can't take it seriously with that saxophone. I'm sorry. I couldn't as a kid, and I can as an adult. Yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there. Thanks so much for joining us. And we're going to kick off next hour with a couple good friends of ours. We've got Nakusa Mayor Dan Carlson joining us, along with Howard Freeman. We're going to talk in Nakusa Walleye Days. That is going on until April 16th. Of course, a lot of great things to talk about with that. Encourage you to like their Facebook page. Keep up to date on all the great things that they got going on over there. We're going to talk more with them in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. Right now, let's get into this one, Melissa. If you fill your face with Botox, it might be hard for your other people in your life to read your emotions. That's not too surprising, but this is. A new study found Botox might make the person who got the injections worse at reading other people's emotions as well.
Really?
Researchers at the University of California, Irvine, scanned the brains of 10 women before and after they got Botox in their forehead. The point was to see how their brains reacted to other people's facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Each one was shown photos of happy, angry, or neutral faces, and they had to guess the emotion being expressed. And it turned out they were worse at it after they got the Botox. So does it leak into your brain or something
right.
like that?
Does it like affect your brain somehow?
No, they don't think it's because of something called the facial. They think it's something called the facial feedback hypothesis. The idea that we subconsciously mimic people's facial expressions to help us interpret them. We are basically dogs.
Yeah.
This is what dogs did to evolve to be able to read people's faces to be, oh, if I make a sad face, I get a treat. Okay, here's sad face. Give me a treat.
If I make a happy face, I get a treat.
Yeah. Their theory is that Botox prevents the muscles in your face from doing it as well, and that makes you worse at reading emotions in general.
Interesting.
It had to have been early last year this happened, but we had a young lady, an actress who very good at what she was doing, but she was not very confident about her looks, and she got Botox done because her agent told her it would be a good idea, and she wants to do comedy. She got this done, and she came in, and yeah, she looked a little younger. She was 29. And she got Botox done. And now I still see her sometimes and everything. And she looks good. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell when she's making facial expressions. Like, it's one of the biggest things an actor can have. It's one of the greatest weapons you can have in your arsenal as an actor is being able to express yourself with her face. And she's got no, I can't tell when she's excited or happy. It doesn't do anything.
Forehead doesn't move.
No.
Oh,
there are a lot better Botoxes out there nowadays, and there is a lot of great doctors. And Botoxing can be really good for people with migraines. I've been told to look into it because of that, because I've suffered from migraines since I was 12. Mm-hmm. I'm also an actor. Look, I don't care about looking younger. I don't care about getting rid of my migraines as badly as I do my craft. Is that wrong? Is that healthy? No, it's insane. It's wrong. I admit it. But I'll be dang if I'm ever going to do anything like that. And I'm going to take away one of the best weapons in my arsenal as an actor.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It says a lot about our development as humans. About how we interpret the world around us by the visual, the vocal, all of it matters.
I'm a little more curious in the facial feedback hypothesis, the idea of this. How much of this do we really do? Or it turns out that we do in life and society.
Well, think about it, how much tone affects things too. Like how you saying something to me in person with facial expressions and verb, words, versus sending the same thing to me through text.
Mm-hmm.
They could potentially, if I didn't know you as well as I did, be interpreted very differently.
Right.
So the same thing, without being able to make those facial expressions, you're not going to be able to fully understand what's coming back at you.
Right. Speaking of idioms, being able to read the room. That's a big one, and that's something that you pick up on more and more. You're in society more and more. You're around people.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting. I hadn't really thought about the other end of this before. I wonder too if knowing this and being more aware of it, if it will help with empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always looking at ways that we can get more empathy in society and life and everything. I don't know why, but that pops in my head. That feels like something that could happen from this organically.
Well, there are some developmental situations where people have difficulty interpreting emotions. That's part of brain development that sometimes doesn't happen or doesn't happen fully. So having empathy for those situations, whether you did it to yourself through Botox or it's just how you are, it's always good to be empathetic.
I see the advantage of having it when it comes to health conditions and stuff. But other than that, I don't really feel like it does its job. Like I feel like you can tell when people get this done, and I don't think it really necessarily makes you look younger. It makes you kind of
look stiffer.
Yeah, it makes you look stiff, and I don't want to say desperate, but it doesn't go over well.
Each their own, you know.
Exactly.
If that's what you need to do to feel good about yourself, and you have the money to do it and the resources, well, more power to you.
Have you heard how much those sessions can cost?
Nope.
They're insane.
Don't want to know.
Yeah, they are very expensive, and it isn't a one time thing. You got to keep getting this stuff done. Like I thought it was a one time thing. Like boom, you're done. You know, you get out of there and stuff. I was talking to somebody who had their lips done, and she's got to go in like every like 6 months or something like that to get it redone. Like,
see, I don't have to do that, James, because sometimes I have this condition where my lips just swell up on their own. It's not pretty.
No.
And I can't plan for it. It just happens.
That ain't right. That ain't right story right there.
Yeah,
We got more of those that ain't right stories and good stories of the day coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, along with our friends. They talk about Nakusa Walleye Days. That's how we're going to kick off that 9 o'clock hour with Melissa and James here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio.